The Boston Celtics win behind a big game from Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker. Semi Ojeleye is also getting a lot of love for his defensive impact. And have you ever wondered what goes into a monster free throw disparity like we saw tonight with the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat? I'll break it down for you. It's the Thursday Locked On Celtics podcast. Let's go!
Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
You're almost at the end of the work week, and I, John Corrales from MassLive.com, am here to bring you right up to the end by talking about this big Boston Celtics 112-93 win over the Miami Heat. I want to thank you for making this podcast part of your day. I very much appreciate it. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, if you're in the gym, in the car, in the shower, I really do appreciate that you make this part of your daily routine. So the Boston Celtics were big 112-93 winners, as I said, led by Jaylen Brown, who dropped 31 points on 10 of 20 shooting, 5 of 9 from 3, 6 of 8 from the line. Just a huge, huge game from Jaylen Brown. In his last 6 games, Jaylen is averaging 22.5 points on 53.3% shooting. He scored 20-plus points in 5 of those games. Okay? That is a just a hell of a performance from Jaylen Brown. The point totals over the last, let's see, 6 games here. 31-28. He had a bad game at Brooklyn, only 8. But then 22, 24, and 22. He's averaging 19.9 points per game now. And he's at just about 7 rebounds and 2 assists. Everything's like 0.9. So I want to say 27 and 2, but it's 19.9, 6.9, 1.9. Bottom line here, Jaylen Brown is having an awesome start to his season. Jaylen Brown is now starting to get a little, maybe, all-star buzz. The voting's going to start in a little while, and Jaylen's numbers have been right there with what you would expect an all-star to be putting up. And he's really showing me new aspects of his game. And there was a stretch here in this game where it was Jaylen Brown and putting his head down and driving and getting to the rim, stopping and finishing in various ways, attacking Bam Adebayo and getting him, bumping him off and finishing how he chose, how Jaylen chose, and not kind of just flying into the teeth of a defense like he did once upon a time. And that's a nice progression from Jaylen Brown. So shout out to Jaylen Brown for just being a much better basketball player this year already than I thought he would be, and that maybe some of you thought he would be. It's great to see, and he was a beast in this game. His back-to-back threes, and I'll talk about them more in a little bit because they do run concurrently with a big Semi Ojeleye play. I'm going to talk about Semi Ojeleye in the second segment, but those two threes at the end of the third quarter capped like a comeback. Miami had made a run, and those basically ended that run. So Jaylen was part one of this win. Part two of this win, Kemba Walker, 28 points on 9 of 17 shooting, 6 of 11 from 3, 4 of 4 from the line. These guys' true shooting percentages are going to go off the charts after this one. A game-high 7 assists for Kemba in this game. also 4 rebounds, a couple of steals. Kemba asserted himself early in this game. And the best part about this is that Kemba has had slow starts. I talked about it in the last, I wrote about it on masslive.com after the New York game, where Kemba's had a couple of bad games in a row, and it kind of cost the Celtics in Brooklyn, although that's not the only reason why, but they overcame that in New York, and there was going to be no third bad game in a row. Kemba shot extraordinarily well, and he spaced it out very nicely. 8 points in the first, 9 points in the second, 5 in the third, 6 in the fourth. He just kind of paced himself very nicely throughout this whole thing. In the first quarter, when the Celtics sucked, let's talk a little bit about the game flow. The Celtics kind of sucked in the first quarter again. And after the game, Jason Tatum admitted, and other guys admitted, that sometimes you kind of coast a little bit through the beginning, or try to get a little too casual, try to kind of, I don't know, feel out the game a little bit too much. And there's a need to be more aggressive early on in these games. I don't know if it's a matter of Tatum and Brown and Kemba just all kind of, when you say feeling out, like who's feeling good, who's, sometimes I can speak from experience where I've had games where I felt good when the jump ball went up, and oh boy, really had a stinker. And there are some games where you warm up and you're like, God, I just don't feel it. And then something happens in the game, and all of a sudden it just comes to you. So there is a period early on in a game, especially when three guys can each be scorers, where you say, well, who's got it? Who's feeling it? Who's got a matchup that they like? Who's cooking? And that little feeling out can kind of impact the defensive end, where there's a little less energy. And that could turn into what we saw with the Celtics, who were outscored 28-20 in the first quarter and shooting poorly, while Miami moved the ball around, 6 assists on 12 made baskets, shooting over 50% from the field in the first quarter. And, you know, you sit there wondering, like, which team just flew in and got into their hotel room at like 3 or 4 in the morning after coming in from Toronto and not only making a flight, not only you got to go through customs, you got to, you know, check into your hotel. It's just a mess of a travel back to back after the overtime game. And it looked, the Celtics were the ones that looked like they were the ones coming in off of that trip. But Kemba was there. Whenever things started to kind of get out of hand, Kemba made a basket, kind of kept things close. And it wasn't until the second quarter that things started to kind of pick up. Now, Jason Tatum did some of his work in the second quarter. Tatum didn't have a good shooting night. Okay. 6 of 20 from the field, 2 of 12 from three. That's a bad shooting night. And he's kind of up and down with his shooting. But in the second quarter, he played all 12 minutes, 3 of 7 from the field, 2 of 5 from three for an 11-point second quarter. Now, he was one of the catalysts in that second quarter when the whole thing turned around. Now, after the game, Brad was asked, so what happened in the second quarter that was so different? And he said, well, we started playing hard. And it's funny, it was a funny moment, because we're sitting there and Brad's so good at just kind of playing along. You know, for example, at shoot around before the game, earlier in the morning, I was asking him a question about Bam Adebayo. And I didn't even get the whole question out. He just said, you know, I said something about Bam, and I forget exactly what I was saying, but I was really almost like mid-sentence. And Brad's like, yeah, he's a stud, and just went off on a nice answer, perfect answer for me. And that's the Brad Stevens that you expect. But after the game, he was asked, so what was the key to that second quarter? He said, we played hard. And then he stopped. And there was like, it felt like a second and a half, 2 seconds, which, you know, if there's 2 seconds of silence between two people when you've asked the question and you're expecting more, they're a little awkward. And he's like, that's it. That was the key. We played harder. And some of that has to do with Semi Ojeleye, but some of that also had to do with Jason Tatum. And Tatum was in there with second unit guys, so he was more, he could be more aggressive. He had to be more aggressive. And I remember sitting there at one point turning to Tom Westerholm and saying, you know, this is a point where they need Jason Tatum. And he had just hit a three, and it was about that time where he started to kind of carry things. And he did in the second quarter. And so, but again, Semi Ojeleye was a big part of this. I talked about Jaylen Brown and his bang-bang three-pointers at the end of the third quarter. But Semi Ojeleye had a role in that. I'll take a break and talk more about Semi Ojeleye when I come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Before I take this break, I want to ask any of you out there who are business owners, if you're looking to advertise, this is a great place to do it. The Locked On Celtics podcast, as I've said, thanks to the many listeners that we have, is consistently in the top 25 on the iTunes list of all NBA podcasts. It's one of the top three or four, depending on the day, single team focused podcasts on the entire list. There's only like two or three others that are ahead of the Locked On Celtics podcast. The audience here happens to be predominantly male. So if you're looking for a product that reaches a predominantly male audience, this is a great place to do it. It's a college educated audience. It's an age group, a good demographic, your typical kind of male sports fan in their 20s to their 40s with disposable income. So if that's the type of audience that you're trying to reach, that is the dominant audience that right now listens to the Locked On Celtics podcast. So if you are an advertiser, a local advertiser, we've got advertising space on this podcast. So hit me up on LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com. LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com to see if you can advertise here on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Two keys in this game, one bigger picture, one kind of minute. For some reason, I want to talk about it. That's coming up in a minute. It's a timeout that Brad took. First, I want to talk about Semi Ojeleye. And Brad Stevens, after the game, very complimentary of Semi. Semi played 24 straight minutes. Now, Brad Stevens tinkered around with the bigs lineup at the beginning, the first half. He played some Enes Kanter in there with Rob Williams. That did not go well. Enes Kanter ended up a -5. In a blowout win, Enes Kanter was a -5. He just could not hang. This is just a bad matchup. Pick and roll, he's just not going to do it. He can't do it. And he got exposed. The Miami, Brad said he wanted to kind of see if he could counter Miami's size. And that didn't work with the two big lineups, which I pretty much reserved for mostly the first quarter. Those failed because Miami's bigs are also very mobile. Bam Adebayo had a huge impact early on in the game. That first quarter when Miami was cooking, Bam Adebayo, he scored 6 points and then assisted on 2 3-pointers. So he had a hand in 12 early Miami points, and he was really a problem. But the Celtics kind of decided to go small. They started Grant Williams, and they kind of got away from all of that. They got away from the two bigs. They got away from Grant a little bit, and they turned to Semi Ojeleye. And Semi Ojeleye was part of the reason why the Celtics were able to turn the tide. Even early in the second quarter, when the Celtics still weren't together on offense, Miami, they got a couple of shots from Kendrick Nunn, and he was kind of trying to keep it close. But the Celtics were able to kind of limit the damage until the Tatum takeover. And they did it through defense. Miami really could have had a chance there to build a big lead and made life hard for the Celtics in the second quarter. They didn't. The Celtics defensively were able to kind of hold them off, and Ojeleye came in and kind of changed the energy. The guys afterwards were saying like he was loud defensively. He was able to kind of make sure that everybody was in the right place. Talk about that a lot when you talk about the impact that Al Horford had and the things that you lose when Al Horford's gone, that quarterback of the defense. Well, Shemmy was able to kind of quarterback that defense and keep people engaged and change the energy, diving for loose balls, getting in there and having seven rebounds, which I believe is a career high. He came in and was instrumental in the Celtics kind of turning the momentum and really going on a big run in the second quarter. Then in the third quarter, key moment, Miami makes a 14-3 run. The Celtics had been up 16, all right, 68-52. Jason Tatum hit Jaylen Brown with an alley-oop, which not a great alley-oop. Jaylen Brown caught it and finished it. It was a really nice catch and finish. It was a really fun fast break and ambitious pass, but Jaylen caught it. So big moment, 68-52, like I said. Then Miami goes on a 14-3 run, and it's a five-point game. And they run this out-of-bounds play. I don't know if it was intentional. I'd like to think it was intentional. But they kind of overloaded the left side, and they dropped. They had Jason Tatum kind of like cut to the basket right down the middle of the lane. And that drew, if you watch the play, that kind of drew all of the defenders. Kelly Olynyk was guarding Shemi Ojeleye and was, you know, like a foot on the baseline and kind of blocking that passing lane. Tatum cut to the basket and he drew Kelly Olynyk. He all of a sudden pulled him out of position. And I've talked about gravity in the lane. That's exactly it. Anybody that goes into the lane that's a threat to score in that position, everybody around him gets drawn in. That's what I mean by gravity. And that gravity sucked in Kelly Olynyk, and Brad Wanamaker hit Shemi Ojeleye in that corner, and Ojeleye drained it. Now, Ojeleye started the season in his first 10 games shooting 20% from three, and he looked unplayable. And then in the last 10 games, he's now shooting 40% over the last 10 games from three. The samples are small, so the next miss could make it, you know, 30-something percent. The next make could make it a much higher percentage. So, but the point is, he wasn't making them earlier, and now he is. Now, that three, you go from a five-point game, Ojeleye hits that three, then those two Brown threes back-to-back, and it's a 13-point game again. And that's kind of like, I don't want to say lights out, but that was a key moment. If Ojeleye doesn't make that three, and Miami comes down and scores, that puts a lot of pressure on the Celtics, and who knows if Brown hits those threes or even gets those threes. So that was a key moment, and Ojeleye gets a lot of credit for playing the entire second and third quarter, basically, and really having a big impact on the game where he hasn't had many impacts on the game this season. Okay, the other thing I want to talk about before the next break, Brad Stevens takes a timeout with 3:48 to go in the game, okay? The Celtics had just gone up by 21, and Miami comes down and cuts it to 15. Jimmy Butler makes a layup. It's a completely blown coverage. Then the Celtics run a stinker on offense. Grant Williams ends up giving it to Robert Williams with like 5 seconds left on the shot clock or so. Robert Williams takes a jumper. That's not great, okay? Then Butler comes down and in transition takes a very lightly contested three. Boom. So he scores 5 points like instantly. Bang, bang. And the 21-point lead gets cut to 15. And Brad Stevens takes the timeout. He subs in Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, Daniel Tice. That was a really kind of I don't want to say critical moment, but all of a sudden that position that the Celtics were in was very dangerous. It was a dangerous moment. 102-87, Jimmy Butler, Mr. Fourth Quarter, Mr. Closer, comes down and hits those threes, hits that three, hits those shots in rapid succession. He's starting to feel it. Adrenaline is starting to pump. Call a timeout, settle that down. Get your better players in there. What happens? Tatum, jumper. Kemba, three. Kemba, three. Boom, lights out. That 15-point lead, it's 23. And done. That closed out the game. Now, you didn't want to have to do that, but that right there saved the Celtics from potentially making that thing a very close game. Today's NBA, man, that you hit a three, you can hit a couple of threes like that. If Jimmy Butler comes down and hits a couple more threes, and all of a sudden that's a 9-point game with 3 minutes or so to go, that's now you're starting to get nervous. Now you're starting to like chew those fingernails. It's a, like I said before, a dangerous time. So especially with Butler, especially with the way Miami can get going, they're tired. They were just on the edge of like, this is our last gasp. You don't call that timeout, then the momentum starts to carry. Like I said, the adrenaline starts to flow. These guys start feeling it. They get one more good push. And once it gets down to single digits, then anything could happen. Somebody gets tight on the Celtics and a turnover. Somebody gets, you know, rushes a shot, and then they get out in transition again. And who knows what happens. And Miami's a team that can come back. So, yeah, Brad Stevens has been criticized for his use of timeouts and lack of timeouts. So I thought just that one thing there was kind of interesting. After the break, a question about Jason Tatum's plus minus and another storyline from this. The Boston Celtics had a big free throw disparity, 32-17, but I'll show you why it's actually more even than it seems and how a free throw disparity actually comes about. It's next on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. At Coach Feeney on one of those social channels, the Twitter page, LO Celtics, sent a question about Jason Tatum's plus minus. Says Jason Tatum's ability to always have an incredibly high plus minus is kind of amazing. His shooting is kind of bad tonight, and he's a plus 22 when Kemba and JB, both of whom are shooting really well, are plus 7 and plus 3 respectively. Would love to hear John's thoughts on Locked On Celtics. Thank you, Coach Feeney, for that. Okay, so what goes into a big plus minus? An in-game plus minus is very tough. Sometimes it goes by like, does it confirm what you feel? Does it not? It's hard to say. Like, obviously, Jaylen Brown and Kemba were important to this game, but all of those guys were on the floor early on in the first quarter. So everybody's on the floor when the first quarter begins. But Jason Tatum is subbed out with 5:44 to go. And at that point, it's 16-11. Celtics are down 5. They end up going down 8. And Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker are on the floor for that. Well, Tatum starts the second quarter, and he plays the entire second quarter. So the Celtics go from down 8 to plus 8. So that's plus 16 minus 5 because he went out where the Celtics were down 5. So right there, he's a plus 13 going into halftime. And so that's how some of that plus minus is generated. He was on the floor. Why is he a plus 13? Well, we just talked about some of the reasons why. So the defense and all the other things. So he's a plus 13 because of everything that's happening around him. Now, he's also on the floor for the rest of, or much of the rest of, the Celtics kind of extending their lead. But third quarter, he was not on the floor when Miami makes the big run. I remember I just told you that he was on the bench, and it was Brad taking in the timeout in the fourth quarter when Miami went on a little bit of run. He comes in. Well, Kemba hits a couple of threes. He hits a jumper. Now, all of those points are his plus. They're on his plus side. So how much is he directly responsible for his own plus minus? Hard to say. It's so hard to kind of gauge all of the, and this is why people don't like always referring to individual plus minuses, but he was out there as a plus 31 in 33 minutes, despite shooting 30% and 17%, not even from three, because he was out there in critical moments, and he had his best stretch of the game when the Celtics turned an 8-point deficit into an 8-point lead. So it's, there's some of just how players were subbed in and out, and you're on the floor for a good stretch, but then all of a sudden every team makes a run and they go on an 8-0 run, or there goes 8 points off of your plus minus. And is that your fault? Maybe some of it is, maybe some of it isn't. But Tatum's going to be on the floor for especially now without Gordon Hayward for second quarters, and they're going to try to use his ability to score and create shots for himself, especially with a lot of bench guys. And when Kemba's on the floor by himself, that you can double him, and because of his size, it's a little bit, you don't want that necessarily. Jaylen can be out there, but Jaylen doesn't create for himself quite as dynamically as Tatum does. So I'm sorry, I don't know if I said that right. Brown does not do that as well as Tatum does. Brown does a lot of things great, but Tatum is, he can kind of get almost any shot that he wants. Now, can he finish the shots that he wants? No, not necessarily yet right now, but so that's why he's out there on the floor with those guys. But that's kind of like the story behind his plus minus. I hope that kind of answers your question. Okay, the other point I want to make, the free throw disparity, I'm sure is going to come up. I'm sure some Miami Heat people will kind of bring that up. How do the Celtics have a 32-17 free throw disparity? They outscored Miami by 15 at the free throw line. So you're looking at a 112-93 win, and, you know, 19 point win, a game that was as high as 21, and 15 of those points come from the free throw line. So how do you get to that point? Well, we talk about forcing the issue, being aggressive. And when you're aggressive, especially against a team like Miami, that's like I've said a million times, back-to-back overtime game in late, coming from Toronto, all of that stuff. They're going to be tired. They're going to be a step slow, which means they're going to reach. So as a coach, and you're trying to emphasize this stuff, you know that they're going to be reaching a little bit more. So move the ball, drive, and really try to get them in the penalty, which is what the Celtics did extraordinarily well. In the second quarter, they got Miami into the penalty with 4:46 left, which led to two free throws for Tice, two for Shemmy, and four for Kemba Walker. In the third quarter, they got Miami into the penalty with 4:19 left, and they got two free throws each for Robert Williams, Brad Wanamaker, and Jason Tatum. In the fourth quarter, they got Miami into the penalty with 7:45 left, and they got two free throws for Jaylen and two for Grant. So 18 penalty free throws for the Boston Celtics. Miami, over that same course of time, took six free throws on the penalty. You're limited to five fouls in a quarter. After the fifth foul, it's two free throws on every foul. It doesn't matter. So the Celtics, of the 32 that they took, 18 were penalty free throws. 14 came on shooting fouls, either a two-shot foul or an and one. Miami, 6 penalty free throws, 11 shooting fouls, be they 2 free throws or an and one. So when you look at just the shooting fouls, it's pretty close, 14 to 11. When you look at the penalty, Boston got 12 more penalty free throws. That's the difference. That's why you're aggressive. That's why you move the ball. That's why you get teams into rotation. That's why you penetrate and try to get into the paint and drive and kick and redrive and re-kick and try to get these teams out of position so you can keep drawing those fouls. Okay, I criticize James Harden for drawing fouls. He does it to an extreme level. Okay, he's a genius at it. I don't like watching it, but it doesn't mean that he's not a genius at it. But drawing these fouls and getting the opponent into the penalty is huge. Guys who draw fouls are huge because not only do they add to their own point total, but guys who get to the line 7, 8, 9, 10 times a game put the other team in the penalty. And now I didn't go through and see who did what, but Shemmy's 2 free throws, Wanamaker's 2 free throws, Jalen's free throws. Those are points for these guys. And they're getting to the line and adding 2, 4, 6 points to their total. And all of a sudden, a 14-point game becomes a 20-point game. And hey, look at this dude. He scored 20 points. We love when people score 20 points. That's great. So if I am a guy who draws 10 free throws and I can draw 2 fouls on a team in a quarter or 3, and then you get a couple of other fouls, now every other foul after that is free throws, and now all of my teammates get to go pad their scoring stats. It's good for morale. It's good for the stat sheet. It's good for, you know, growing a lead, coming back from a lead. The Celtics in the second quarter took the lead on penalty free throws. It was Kemba Walker who hit 4 free throws to give the Celtics their first lead. So, super important. The ability to draw fouls is not just about getting your and ones and not going to the line after shooting fouls. It's about putting the other team in the penalty. And this was a great example of that against the Miami Heat. So, hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you're a regular listener, or if you're a new listener, I should say, I hope you've enjoyed it enough to subscribe. We are everywhere. Any podcasting app that exists should have the Locked On Celtics podcast. So if you're not listening to this on your favorite podcasting app, if you've gotten to this somehow another way, please go subscribe so you can get this podcast for free every Monday through Friday. So you can listen to it on your way to work or wherever you want to listen to it. You can also, if you are so inclined, you can ask your smart device, your phone, your Alexa, your Google, your whatever, you can ask it to play podcast Locked On Celtics. All of you regular listeners, I've asked you a lot of times, and I appreciate you sticking with me every time I ask. If you have the ability to give us a 5-star rating and give the show a good written review, wherever that is, I will very much appreciate it. It helps tremendously because those rankings, as you heard me ask about advertisers earlier, they're so very important. It helps me. It helps pay me. And that's the only payment I ask. Again, free daily podcast for you Monday through Friday. So tell everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.